Today on Real Life Radio.
And by the way, it's not thou shalt not, that shall not. Oh, your God, just the God of knows. No, he's not. He says, don't do this so you don't get killed. Don't do this so you don't die. Don't do this so you're not depressed. Don't do this so you're not, are you with me?
Yes.
Really, everything he says is a yes to life and to joy.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days?, continues his series called The Why Series. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible has to say is true, to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to universal questions we all face in life. But questions regarding sex and sexuality are not often addressed by the church. We often avoid what makes us uncomfortable without realizing how really important our sex and sexuality are to God. Throughout history, the world's opinion regarding sex and sexuality is tragically mistaken, that sex is dirty or that it's only for populating the earth. We forget that the God of the Bible invented sex and sexuality, and it's the devil of the Bible who perverted it. So on this part of the message today, Pastor Jack goes on to say that sex and sexuality is a gift from God, not to harm us, but for our benefit. Both male and female are unique in and of themselves, but deeper still, sex and sexuality is a physical expression of a spiritual act, a husband and wife coming together as one. And now in his message called Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Variation within the species happens in all species. And I'm looking around the sanctuary tonight, and there's all kinds of heights and widths and colors and pigmentation and looks, and the symmetric layout of our faces are all different. There's variation within the species, and you ought to thank God for that. It would be horrible if everybody looked like you. Then it wouldn't lead to the next argument, and that is it's only humans that view each other in the area of affection or attraction, or where that person has attributes about them that you find even in sex and sexuality as interesting, I'll say, or arousing. So as we look at this, this is vitally important. And so we've often looked at the animal kingdom and thought, you know, we're not different. We're just evolutionary creatures, and yet the human exists unique. And the Bible says exactly that, that the human is someone who's created in the image of God, and that that cannot be denied. We also need to remember that sex and sexuality, according to the Bible, is a gift given to us by God himself, and that it is to be used. Listen, friends, listen. Whoever you are tonight, please listen to this. It's to be used in a way, according to God, that will benefit you, not harm you. You need to know that. And so as we get on in the study and in the weeks of the study, you may be here and you're not a Christian, or you don't know, and you're going to hear some statements from the Bible, verses from the Bible, and you're going to say, how in the world does this work? I never heard this before. That's insane. You mean the Bible says that we should reserve sex for marriage? Yeah, it says that. Who? What? Listen, can I just suggest this to you? Your thinking has been conditioned by the world that you've been exposed to. No, that doesn't take away your desire and your drive. But the Bible says there's a way to mitigate and to manage that. We need to know that. And so we'll be looking at this in the weeks ahead. Also this, I will now attempt to make an absolute statement. Are you ready? Any young people in here going to school? You're not, I just violated them right now in the sense that you said the word absolute. I can't believe it. I'm going to tell. Yep, absolute. I know it's foreign to a lot of young people today, but the word absolute, I'm going to attempt to make an absolute statement. And it's this. Males possess a male sexual nature. That is an absolute statement because it's an absolute scientific fact. How many of you are males? Raise your hand. Men. If you're confused, your biology will, let's just go with your biology. What you brought in here tonight, let's go with it. Okay? How many of you are females? Raise your hands. There's a lot of women here tonight. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to make my a second attempt of an absolute statement. Females have a definite female sexuality, nature. It's uniquely female, and the male is uniquely male. Why is this the case? Because God made us this way. But why is this the case? Because according to God, He creates us in the book of Genesis, male and female. We've touched on these verses earlier in previous studies. But just like God made animals to reproduce after their own kind, God elaborates on what He's already previously laid down in the creation of animals. Are you tracking? The rhinos, male rhinos are interested in female rhinos because of biology and reproduction purposes only. Giraffes, same way. Monkeys, same way. This pattern was established to reproduce after its own kind. Then God creates Adam and intensifies the fact that Adam is alone. None of the animals are proper for Adam. Thank God, says the Bible. Then He turns around and says, I'm gonna bring forth woman out of man. Now, women bring forth all human beings on earth, except the first woman came out of a man, out of the rib on the, I don't know if it's the right side. Does it say right side in the Bible? I don't know why I reach for my right side, but out of the rib. And think of the technology. You can look at it later. Think of the technology that's in a rib. Amazing. So God says, this is what He does. And that man and woman, male, female, they are to, listen, in fact, let's just read it. Look at this. Genesis 1:26. Watch. And if you don't have your Bible, if you don't own a Bible, look through the screens. Then God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and everything that's creeps upon the earth. Can you imagine just that one verse alone, how awesome it would have been to have a parrot fly and land on your shoulder, or an eagle, or to walk up and get on the back of a lion and ride it around the, oh my goodness. That just had to be awesome. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. Now this is mankind. He's not talking about Adam. He's talking about mankind. When it says, so God created man in His own image, in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Skipping down to Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good, this is a recap, by the way, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Isn't that amazing? Surgery. God did surgery. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. That means grow up and get out, honestly, and be joined. You ought to circle the word joined. Joined emotionally, joined spiritually, and those two truths are confirmed sexually. Did you know that? I mentioned earlier, by the way, keep the verse up. I mentioned earlier the Puritans. Did you know that the Puritans, when they performed a service of wedding, that they were being brought together spiritually? They had to agree to not be unequally yoked, to both be believers. And they were to love one another. That's the emotional side of it all, by action, caring. But the wedding was not confirmed until the Trinity was enacted. They were spiritually sound and fit for each other. They were emotionally loving on one another. And then the close of the Trinity, that they consummated the marriage, and it had to be proven to the church in sexual consummation. And listen, the Puritan ministers believed, and by the way, they believed it because it's biblical. Are you tracking with me? That couple that's now a married institution, they were to continue that Trinity until death do they part. Not just dating, not just the wedding, not just the week after. Are you hearing me? Marriage and the experience between a male and a female and the confines of marriage is to be a lifelong ministry journey and experience. Ministering to one another, as you shall see in future weeks, even, in fact, God puts a premium on it, even in the areas of sexual relationships with one another. Because the spiritual side's supposed to be intact at all times. That husband's supposed to be the priest and pastor over that home. He's to be the spiritual covering for the wife and to be loving on her and caring for her. And that is to be maintained and constantly defended against the attacks of the enemy. The Bible will tell us, you might be shocked to find out, it is to have a closed system with a wall around it by order of the Bible, and it's kept safe by sexual interaction between a husband and wife. Did you know that? You're going to be learning about that from the Bible. You see how much already the world has robbed us and ripped us off and has told us and taught us other things, but we're in Genesis. We're almost done with Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Can you just imagine for a moment how incredibly perfect and beautiful that must have been? No dirtiness, no weirdness. Somebody has jokingly, maybe not, I don't know, said, well, the reason why is because Adam didn't have anyone to compare Eve to. Do you hear how cynical of a view that is? Wow. Number two, and then we'll end this second argument and we'll do some Q&A. So get your questions going if you would. Why is sex and sexuality such a big deal in these days? It's because physical expression, mark this, is a spiritual act. Have you ever thought about that before? According to the Bible, physical expression, and I'm talking about physical union, according to the Bible, is a spiritual act. So much so, the Bible talks about if we are not faithful to Jesus, or faithful to God and our love to him, but we entertain other idols and gods in our lives, the Lord calls that of us spiritual adultery. You see, well, how does that work in the other direction? Because God created man, literally in his law of creation, mankind, male and female. And when they come together, they become one flesh. One flesh. Now you need to pause for a moment and think. What does that possibly mean? When you go through the entire scripture, you will find out, beautifully illustrated in the Song of Solomon, that one flesh is a binding together in a sense of spiritual connection of a male and a female, of a husband and of a wife, that is before the very eyes and approval of God himself. Have you ever thought, have you ever been raised up to think or to understand that God says, for example, I'll give it to you in later weeks, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, I think it is, or 5, the Bible says, regarding the marital bed, it is undefiled before God. Did you know that? It means he approves of marital sex and sexuality. Did you know that? God made you a male, and he did that because he knew what he was doing, and you have certain drives. A man, by the way, in fact, there's some fame, I figured who it is. I'm at a loss now for some great, great saint of yesteryear said, he was a monk. That's the first problem. He was a monk. The Bible doesn't endorse monkery at all. But he was a monk, and his question is, he said, when I see God, I'm going to ask him, why is the male sex drive so strong? Now, granted, listen, you and I know the male sex drive, guys, after the fall. We only know the male sex drive after Adam and Eve sinned. But listen, to think that a woman and a man, they have the same sex drives? Listen, feminists tonight, listen up. If you want to be just like a man, you better rethink that. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to be like a man. Number one, women. If we could look inside of a woman's mind for 10 minutes, inside her mind is a plethora of activity and issues and items, from world hunger to shopping, to remodeling the home, to curing the pollution problem of the universe. In 10 minutes, it's amazing. Listen, if you knew what was in a man's mind for 10 minutes, it is a scientific fact. Now, granted, there are anomalies. There is so small. You may be sitting here tonight saying, I don't appreciate that. You're not talking about me. You're not the norm. No, I'm just telling you, scientifically, a man is wired in a way. Okay, I was at a car wash here across the street. There was a young Muslim girl all wrapped up in her Muslim garb. And my car was getting washed, her car was getting washed. Nobody else was there. And I'm wondering, and I'm thinking, I know why she's wrapped up in that. I know why. Religiously, I know why she does that from Islam. I know that. But I wonder if she knows that. And I just garnered up some boldness, and because you're not supposed to talk to Muslim women. You know, I mean, women, you can. Men cannot. So I just thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to go for this. And I said, excuse me. I don't mean to offend you, but why are you dressed like this? What is this supposed to achieve? What does this mean? She said, I'm dressed modestly so that a man doesn't have a thought regarding me. And I said, that's commendable. That is very commendable. And I applaud that. And I said, now, can I, before I say something, can I remind you right now, miss, that I'm old enough to be your dad? And having said that, let me speak to you as a dad. I go, you see that enclosure out there? That concrete enclosure with the door on it? Yes. I said, that's a trash enclosure. Inside are trash bins, trash cans, the big trash cans. Yes. I said, you need to know something. That's a very noble thing that you're doing, but you need to understand something, the way men are wired. If that enclosure had a sign on the outside and it said girl inside, that's all a man needs to know. Because the male mind, the mind of the male, is wired so differently to think, well, who is that? What does she look like? Why? If that bin was labeled man inside, a woman would be thinking about world hunger and shopping. Is that not true? Listen, a man is wired. A commercial is trying to sell something and they'll show women's legs. Do they ever show men's legs? No. Why? Because men are wired differently. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, listen up. Men, you've been wired differently. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm saying it's the man's struggle. Visual is the man's struggle. The woman's wired differently. By the way, out of all those who view pornography, it's something less than 27%, which is the highest it's ever been, but less than 27% of women view pornography. And the sociologists are studying this, and those women who do view it, they have other problems that led them to viewing pornography. Men are prone to look at pornography. Men don't do it. I'm telling you right now, Christian men, there's a better way to live and there's a more powerful way to live. And let me tell you, that world has a horrible, horrible invoice at the end. And I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about, in short order, You guys, you have no idea the counseling we go through with young married couples who the young man had viewed pornography on a regular basis, and now they got married, and they love Jesus, and they got married, and he loves his wife with all of his heart, but it's tragic what's happened. And he weeps, and she weeps. We're wired different. You understand that? Completely different. Why? Because we're spiritual creatures. And the Bible makes it very clear. Regarding marriage, you want to defend your marriage, you want to keep your marriage healthy, then the Bible says that when you come together as a husband and wife, you should do it regularly. And if you do not, the Bible says you must agree not to come together for fasting and prayer. And the Bible says once you have completed your fasting and prayer or whatever is going on in that situation that stops you, both of you agree, we're not going to be together. It says come back together quickly lest Satan attack you. The Bible says if you burn with lust, Christians, the context is Christians. If two single Christians that love each other and they're burning with lust, the Bible says to stop sinning, you should be married. Did you hear that? You can be tonight Christians and you are fornicating and God is aligning the stars against you because you are violating his rules. His rules are for life, okay? You say, well, we just love, first of all, make sure it's love and not lust here. But the Bible says, if you burn, get married. That's for another topic some other day. Sexual expression is a spiritual act. So much so, the Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you? And that God has no fellowship with Satan regarding you? That's comforting, isn't it? If the Holy Spirit's in your life, that means Satan can't get in. He can prowl around like Sunday, like we've been talking about on Sunday. He can prowl around and look for an opening, but he can't live inside you. He can't possess. The Christian cannot be possessed. Holy Spirit lives in there. And he says, I'm not going to share this body with anybody. And then Paul goes on to say, if a Christian has sex with a harlot, do you not know, he says, that that Christian is joining Christ, Jesus, to that harlot? Sex is a spiritual act. That's why people who have premarital sex or sex at a young age, for example, there's emotional trash and baggage and pain and sorrow that you will carry for the rest of your life, especially for the female, because they're more, let's be honest, they're more reasonable, they're more impressionable. The female is wired better than the male. They take it much deeper. This is very, very serious stuff. No, churches aren't going to address it. They're not going to talk about it. And yet it affects every day of your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days? Thanks for being with us today. Why is Sex and Sexuality Such a Big Deal These Days? Is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which is, of course, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose in this life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, with all that's happening in the world today, be inspired and encouraged through the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference that's hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. Through our exclusive live stream pass, you can watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and for only $5, you'll also have access to pre-recorded teachings and backstage access with the speakers themselves. So get your streaming pass, or to find a church nearby you that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website at beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.